I want us to pick up today and focus on these words, "My eyes have seen your salvation," as we look at Jesus, the baby Jesus in the temple after the birth story. So read with me, and we're going to take this in four short sections. Read with me just verses 21 to 24. Luke 2, verse 21. The Bible says, "And at the end of 8 days, 8 days after Jesus' birth, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Let's stop right there. And I want to focus on an obedient family. First of all, Joseph and Mary are being shown here by Luke for their obedience. They're seen here as obedient worshipers of God who are committed to obeying God's word. There's three things that Luke told us they did, all in accordance with the law of Moses. In other words, these are young parents. Their lives have just been turned upside down. But yet, what is on their heart? It is to obey God. It is to lead their family in the ways of God's word. That's something we don't focus on a lot. We kind of focus on the chaos of the Christmas story. Here's a young virgin coming up pregnant, and Joseph is going to put her away. He's upset. He thinks she's been unfaithful. And God speaks to Joseph in a dream and says, "No, she's not been unfaithful. This is a miracle from God. This is the Son of God." And so their lives are crazy. We know in Matthew, after he's born, God tells Joseph to wake up in the middle of the night, flee with your family to Egypt, because King Herod's coming to kill all the children in Bethlehem. So there's chaos, there's cruelty, it's a crazy story, isn't it? But here in the midst of this, it is important to Joseph and Mary to obey the word of God in their family. What a lesson for us today. Amen. As in the midst of our craziness, are you having a crazy season? Probably, in this time of the year. But in the middle of it all, what is important to us should be what was important to them, is to make sure our families are worshipers of God who are obeying God's word. What are the three things that they obeyed here? First, to have Jesus circumcised on the eighth day, and then to present him as their firstborn. God said in Exodus, every firstborn male belongs to me. And so they're coming to present him. And the law calls for a woman after giving birth to offer a sacrifice for purification. And so Mary is coming to offer a sacrifice for herself. According to Leviticus 12:8, the Bible says that you can sacrifice a lamb for this time of purification. But we noticed here that Mary and Joseph didn't sacrifice a lamb. They sacrificed turtle doves or pigeons. And this shows us that they were not rich. They may not have been dirt poor, but those who could afford a lamb would bring a lamb for this sacrifice. Those who couldn't would offer a couple of birds. And so we see here that Jesus was not born into a rich family, but he was born into a family that loved God and wanted to obey God and worship him by obeying his word. I think a lot of times we think of worship as the music, and obeying God's word is something different. Music is part of worship, but worship is the total response to God's grace. Worship is our total approach to God through Christ. And it involves our obedience to his word. I would like to remind us and call us here in the Bible Belt, where everybody's a Christian and everybody loves God, we just don't think a lot of the word, don't think a lot of the Bible. Oh yes, it says it and that's great, but how I live is something totally different. And God understands if I need to bend a rule here or there. Obeying God is worship. Hearing his word and doing what it says, even when life is crazy. Is your life like Mary and Joseph's here? But yet, to put as the center of the family, As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What a challenge at Christmas time. Families, singles, young and old, to set Christ before us, that we will worship Him with obedience to God's Word. Parents, let me tell you this. There is no greater gift you can give to your children than to raise them up in obedience to God's Word. No greater gift to be a worshiping family. All right, let's look at the next part of our story here back in Luke 2. Read with me just verse 25 and 26. The Bible says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." We meet a Spirit-filled saint here. We've seen an obedient family worshiping the Lord. Now we meet a Spirit-filled saint. Nothing else is known about this man Simeon from history. Only what Luke reveals in these short verses. And what is his description in these short verses? He is righteous and devout. He's waiting for the consolation or comfort of Israel. And he has the Holy Spirit upon him. That's all we know about this man, but what a description it is. Let's break this down, these three descriptions of him. First, righteous and devout. That means he, like Mary and Joseph, it is important to him to obey God's Word. He is devout. He is a worshiper of God. He has ordered his life around God's Word, God's will. God's heart is shaping his life. Secondly, it says he's waiting on the consolation of Israel. He is a man who is waiting, who is longing for something. He's yearning for something. He's praying for something. What is that? If you're a child of God, you will know what it means to wait. We are called in Scripture to wait upon the Lord. As we sang this morning, oh come, Emmanuel. That song captures so beautifully this time of waiting for Israel. Centuries they were waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled. He had told David, "I will give you a son who will sit on the throne of Israel forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Messiah will come and reign." And Israel was longing for that. Oh come, Emmanuel. Well, Christ has come, but we, on the other side of the cross, we as Christians, as believers, we still can sing that song, because though Christ has come the first time and has started the establishment of His kingdom, He went back to the Father, and we are waiting. We are longing for Him to return. We, like Israel, are a people who knows what it is to be yearning in our heart for the fulfillment of God's promise. And maybe you as an individual, you're praying for something. Parents, maybe you're praying for a child. Maybe you have something on your heart and you've been praying and praying and you're waiting on the Lord. That is a posture of humility and worship, to wait upon the Lord. It is to acknowledge that God is in control and I can do what God wants me to do, but I can't make anything happen apart from what He releases and what He grants. This older man, Simeon, he's waiting for the consolation of Israel, the comfort of Israel. That simply means he's waiting on the kingdom of God to come. He's waiting on the dawn of the age of Messiah to shine and to break into this world. And the last thing we're told about Simeon is that the Holy Spirit was upon him. He is a spiritual man. Not only has he been chosen by God and he's full of God's Spirit, he's a Spirit-filled saint of God. But we're told that the Holy Spirit has revealed a specific truth to this man. And I'm sure this was a precious truth to Simeon. What did the Spirit tell Simeon? The Holy Spirit told him that his eyes would not see death before they had seen the Messiah, the Christ. What a promise. He's been told that he's not going to die before he sees the Messiah. I want to point out something that I've never noticed before in the Christmas story. The text here does not say that Simeon is an old man, but I think it implies it. Is that the idea you had in your mind when you read this? That he's pictured as He's been told that he's not going to die till he sees the Messiah. And here he is waiting. And however old he is, I think that the implication here is this is an older saint, an older man. And as I began to read the Christmas story in Luke chapter 1, you know what I was surprised to see? The Christmas story is full of older people who are full of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah and Elizabeth are said to be advanced in years. And Elizabeth is barren. But when the Spirit of God comes upon them, at different times in the story, they speak, they overflow with praise. Elizabeth, when she hears Mary's greeting, who's come to visit her, the babe in her womb leaps for joy because John the Baptist, God said he would be full of the Holy Spirit from the mother's womb. And so when the greeting of Mary reaches her ears, John the Baptist is full of the Holy Spirit and he leaps for joy in the mother's womb. And Elizabeth turns around and she says, "Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? Blessed are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." How did she know Mary was pregnant? She'd not been told. It's because she was full of the Holy Spirit and she was prophesying. And so we have an older woman who is full of the Holy Spirit. And then when Zechariah, he's mute, remember, he can't talk because he didn't believe the angel Gabriel. And so Gabriel struck him mute, right? So much for the cute little fine, fat baby, right? No, it's a warrior. You're not going to talk until the baby's born. And so 9 months, this old man has been mute and he's thinking. And when they're going to name the baby, they're going to name him Zechariah after the dad. And mama says, "No, we're going to name him John." And they say, "No one's named John in your family. Ask daddy what's his name going to be." And he calls for a writing tablet and he writes, "His name is John." And then his mouth is opened, his tongue is loose, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And he begins to speak about God sending the kingdom. And he says, "And you, my son, will go before the Messiah, and you will be a prophet of God." And he's speaking these words full of the Holy Spirit. And then we get to Simeon and we see here's another older saint and he's full of the Holy Spirit. And I want to speak to older people and say that, you know, some may think of Christianity as for the young people, the fiery, passionate young ones. And that's great. Yeah, we need some fiery young people. But I want to encourage you this morning that Christianity is also for the fiery older people in the church. And you are valuable in the kingdom of God. Amen? You have a part to play. We see Simeon here with a very important part to play in the story. I'd like to say that as a challenge to any older people who are here today, don't let up. Don't fade out. You're needed. You are wanted in the church. You have a function in the body of Christ, and we need you. Don't say, "I've done my time. I've served my years. I'm going to kick back and let these young folks have it." We need older men and women who are full of the Holy Spirit of God. We need your wisdom. We need your experience shared with us. We need you to help us stand in the ministry. Amen? I want to encourage you this morning with that. Give yourself, if you're an older person, and maybe you've been tempted to fade out from view, give yourself afresh to the Lord today. Dedicate yourself to His kingdom cause again today. Yes, Mary is also full of the Holy Spirit in the Christmas story, and she's young. We need young people too. But I've never heard or I've never noticed the focus on older people full of the Holy Spirit. And so I think God wanted to bring that out today, to encourage somebody, to challenge somebody today. And so let's pick up and read what Simeon has to say. Read with me verses 27 to 33. "And he came in the Spirit into the temple." Notice that. He came in the Spirit into the temple. Man, I want to preach that. How do you come to church? He came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, that is Simeon, took him up in his arms. What do you think Mary's look on her face was? This older man runs up and sweeps the baby out of her arms in the temple. Wait, what's going on? He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. So we've seen an obedient family, Mary and Joseph, centering their family around God's word. We've seen a spirit-filled saint. Now we have an overflow of praise. And there's three things that are included in that. First, he's coming to worship. We read that Simeon came in the Spirit into the temple. What does that mean? Well, it means that the Holy Spirit guided him to the temple at that time so that he could see the child. God had promised his eyes would not see death until they saw the Messiah. And so faithful to God's promise, the Holy Spirit led Simeon to the temple right as Mary and Joseph and the baby were coming. And he saw them. This is the faithfulness of God. But I wonder if there's a lesson in here for us about how we come to the gathering of the church. Simeon came in the Spirit. Guys, I think so many of us, too many of us, too often, drag ourselves to the assembly of the saints, half asleep. You know, man, I got three kids, I know. It's hard, isn't it? It's tough. Sometimes, you know, a husband and wife, you hadn't fought all week, but when are you going to fight? On the way to church. You know, it always happens, right? And you, some of you are laughing. It happened today, didn't it? All right, amen. And we come to the gathering. Sometimes the songs are almost done before we are starting to wake up in our spirit. You know what I mean? Sometimes the service is almost over before I'm ready to have church. What if we came like Simeon? What if we walked in the Spirit all week? What if we prayed up before we came to the gathering? What if we were ready with a word to share with someone? Hey, I've been praying for you this week and the Lord gave me this scripture. I think it'll encourage you. Or, hey man, you shared last Sunday that you were struggling with this. I want you to know I've been praying for you this week. How's it going? Let's catch up here. What if we came prepared? What if we came in the Spirit to the gathering? Not to just fold our arms and say, I dare you to bless me, Pastor. You know, crack me if you can. But ready, prayed up, eyes on Jesus, ready to lift our voices from the first song. Amen? When we give time for a testimony, man, I know every one of us have something to give glory to God to. And that doesn't mean you got to share every week and you're not sinning if you don't. But man, what a blessing when we can see that this is a body, a family. This is not just a club, right? A country club, a the Optimist Club or whatever. We're the church of the living God, the people of Jesus. And we have His Spirit in us individually as believers. Amen? We can walk in the Spirit and we can come ready not to watch a show, but to participate in the life of the church. I want to challenge the church at Meadow Lake in that. And so many of you are doing really well in that. And this is not a condemnation, but a challenge and an encouragement. You are wanted and needed. You have a gifting from the Holy Spirit. You are a kneecap or an eyeball or some part of the body, and we need you. We need you to have your eyes on Jesus and to pray and to walk in victory. And when you're down, call a brother, call a sister. Pray for me. I am having a bad week. Not to put on a mask and come and smile at everybody on Sunday, but to call someone on a Tuesday night and say, I'm falling apart. Pray for me. We want to be real. We want to be honest. A family of disciples who are helping each other live for Jesus. Pointing each other back to the gospel when we get distracted by the shiny things out there. Remembering what it's about. Simeon came in the Spirit into the temple. And then I want to point out that he was acting in faith. Who told Simeon that this baby was the baby Messiah? Nobody. He acted in faith. Imagine if he had run up and scooped up the wrong baby. Faith. The Spirit revealed to him. We are people of faith. He had been promised by God. He had been directed to the temple by God. And when he saw the baby, the Spirit of God showed him, this is the one. This is the one. Simeon had never heard Jesus preach. He's still a baby, 8 days old. He had never heard him teach. He had never seen his miracles. He had never seen Jesus walk on the water in order to believe on him. He had never seen him die on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. He had never seen him rise from the dead. It was faith. He saw this baby and the Spirit of God moved in his heart and he said, this is the one. It's the same for you and I, isn't it? We weren't there to hear Jesus preach the Sermon on the Mount. We weren't there when he multiplied the fish and bread. Our eyes did not witness the cross or the resurrection. But the story, the message, the gospel came to us. And the Holy Spirit moved in our heart. If you're a Christian, it is because God did a miracle in your heart. To him be the glory. Not because you were smarter than the guy sitting next to you and you made a better choice than he did. It is because God opens eyes. God moves in hearts. The wind blows where it will, Jesus told Nicodemus. If you're not born again, he said, you can't see the kingdom. If you are a believer in Christ, you have acted in faith like Simeon. And finally, he announces God's word, and it's an overflow of praise. He is thanking God for being faithful to the promise. God had promised this man that his eyes wouldn't see death until they saw Messiah. And now when he sees this baby, he scoops him up and says, I can die in peace. Lord, you are dismissing your servant in peace. I can die with shalom. Because my eyes have seen your salvation. What a beautiful phrase that is. Notice the word see in this passage. It had been revealed to him that he would not see death until he had seen Messiah. And then when he sees Jesus, he says, my eyes have seen your salvation. God is a saving, rescuing God. He is the God who saved Israel from Egypt through the Red Sea. And he is the God who rescued Israel in the Promised Land from their enemies. And he is the God who still delights to save his people. And this baby in this old man's arms, all of the salvation of God is summed up and fulfilled in this little baby. Imagine that thought. The God who led Israel through the Red Sea, that salvation was just a picture of the salvation in this old man's arms. My eyes have seen the salvation. He's the song says in Christ alone, it says, fullness of God in helpless babe. A hero who has come to save the day. A God who rescues with mighty acts of deliverance. And he says this salvation has been prepared, or in other words, it's the provision of God, not of men. It's been prepared in the sight of all peoples, all nations. It's not just for Israel. God promised this Messiah for Israel, but it was always God's plan to open up the floodgates of salvation to every ethnic group, to all who would believe on Christ. He said it will be a light of revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people, Israel. Now, Simeon is going to give a word of prophecy. Let's look at this together. Our last verse is verses 34 and 35. And Simeon blessed them. I want you to notice that for a minute. Simeon blessed them, that is Mary and Joseph, and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. And for a sign that is opposed, this baby is going to be a sign from God that is opposed by man, rejected by man. And he looks at Mary and he says, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. A word of prophecy. First, look at his ministry to Mary and Joseph. I pointed out earlier the value that older people have in a church. Older men and women who are full of the Holy Spirit, who walk with God. Here they are in action. Simeon blesses Mary and Joseph. I don't know what all was involved in that. Did he lay his hand on them? It's most certainly a prayer of blessing over them. Do you see this older saint speaking words of encouragement on a young married couple who've just had their first baby and they're overwhelmed? Any young people, young families like that in here? Let me say, young families feel overwhelmed a lot of the time. I'm one of them. I feel in over my head as a parent a lot of days, most days if I'm honest, trying to wing it a lot of days. With prayer and wisdom, talking with my wife, what do we do now? 3 hours, we've been trying to get him down for a nap. And he's under the kitchen table with a box of peppermints. No nap today. And how encouraging it is for an older man or an older woman or an older couple to come and put their hands on our shoulders and say, I was there. And everybody turned out okay. You're going to make it. And I'm going to pray for you. Do you know that is a valuable ministry in a local church? And you know, you don't have to be older to lay your hands on another brother and sister and encourage them. That's for everybody in the church. That's all our job, isn't it? It's the job of every brother and sister, every member of the church. To come around someone who feels a little overwhelmed and just put your hand on them and to pray. Now that takes some walking in the Spirit sometimes to identify who needs the prayer. Sometimes everybody feels overwhelmed. Just start anywhere. It's okay. Just lay your hands on the first one you see. This life is hard. God has not removed suffering from this life yet. He will. But through suffering, the suffering of His Son, He has overcome suffering forever. But now we must wait. But now, if it's God's will, we go through fiery testings of our faith, trials. And when we get sick, sometimes the church prays for us and God heals us. And sometimes we get sick and the church prays for us and God doesn't heal us. Because He's God. And He's got a plan. And we trust Him in those moments and we draw near to Him for encouragement and say, teach me the lesson you're wanting to teach me. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. He prayed 3 times, Lord, remove it. God said, nope. Was his prayer answered? Yes. No is an answer to prayer, right? Yes is an answer. No is an answer. Not now is an answer. Trust me and you'll see later is an answer to prayer. And God told Paul, my grace is enough for you. In my weakness, or in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. And so sometimes God heals and sometimes He said, I'm going to make you strong enough to get through it. That's how you're going to glorify me this time. Not by healing, but by getting strong and living through it. And so, when those in the church are going through those times, go up to them and put your hands on them. Especially a young couple, first baby, 8 days old, feeling a little crazy. Can I pray for you? Can I bring you a meal? Can I love on you? Ministry in the church. Look at Simeon's ministry. It's a blessing, isn't it? A blessing. Who can you bless this busy, crazy holiday season? Walk in the Spirit. Pray. Get your eyes just off of toys and gifts and stuff. And God, who is hurting? Who is hurting this time of the year? Who can I encourage? Who can I bless? Maybe with a financial blessing, somebody that's struggling. Maybe with just a prayer or a word of encouragement, a scripture. Who can you bless? Who can you minister to? Simeon did more than just pray for him. He spoke a word of prophecy. He spoke from God about the child. He said, "This child is appointed for the fall and rising of many." This is speaking about Christ who is coming to tear down the wicked in judgment and to raise up the humble who look to Him in faith. Jesus is coming again to judge the wicked and to comfort His people. This child is appointed for the tearing down of some and the raising up of others. Are you still in your pride? I don't need a Savior. I got this covered. Jesus is going to tear you down. He's the King and there's not room for two on the throne. He calls us to repent of our sins. The greatest sin, the fountainhead of all the sin is pride. A refusal to bow to God and give Him glory. You were created in His image to give Him glory. But you and I were born in this world sucking up the glory ourselves, living for ourselves. But when God brings us to the end of ourselves and we see our sinfulness, and when He shows us His provision for sinners in His Son who died on the cross in our place, taking the wrath that should fall on sinners, it fell on the sinless Savior who was standing in the place of sinners, that we could be welcomed into the smile of God, the love of God, the joy of God forever. What a gospel that is. Praise God. When you see that and your heart is broken and you begin to overflow with joy, that is the moment. That is the moment of salvation. This child is appointed for the fall, but for the rising of many. Are you humble? Have you seen your sin? Run to the cross. Jesus will raise you up. He's not come to bust you in the mouth and kick you when you're down. When you humble yourself before God, He will lift you up. Look to Him in humility, in repentance of sin, and simple trust in Christ. He will raise you up. He will hold you up. Amen? He will keep you in this hard life till His return and all suffering is gone and joy will endure forevermore. This child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and as a sign that is opposed. Jesus is the ultimate sign from God. And He was opposed. John 1:11 says He came to His own people and His own people did not receive Him. He is a sign who will be opposed. They will reject Him. They will insult Him. They will mock Him and beat Him and deliver Him up to death. Jesus will be opposed. He will die a shameful death. This baby who was born in a manger, this sweet child in Simeon's arms in the temple, Simeon speaks of the Holy Spirit and says He will be a sign that will be opposed. He's speaking of the cross. This child was born in Bethlehem. Why? To die for our sins and bring us to God. And He looks at Mary and says, "A sword will pierce through your own soul also." He's probably speaking of the sorrow that she will experience as a mother who will watch her child be rejected by her culture, her people, and be crucified. And we remember in the other gospel where Jesus on the cross sees His mother Mary and John the apostle and he basically says, "John, take care of my mother. She's your mother." She's watching her son pouring out his blood, sword piercing her soul. A few thoughts on our text today. First, Jesus is God's salvation. Acts 4:12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Simeon looked at this baby and said, "My eyes have seen your salvation." In Matthew 1:21, that the angel told Joseph, "You will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Jesus accomplished that salvation through His suffering on the cross and His resurrection from the dead. But another thought this morning, we need God-opened eyes to see that Jesus is the salvation. We can learn facts about Jesus. We can know the Christmas story. We can know that Jesus died to save sinners and still not experience His salvation. Simeon said, "My eyes have seen it." You know, there were other people in the temple who saw baby Jesus and they didn't have a clue who He was. You must be born again. Your eyes must be opened by the Spirit of God to see who Jesus is. You know, Jesus grew up and He began His ministry. Many people saw Him and didn't think He was anything special. The leadership of Israel even rejected Him. They said, "You're casting out demons because you work from the power of Satan yourself." They were blind to who He really was. And even as He died on the cross, you've got two thieves dying for their own sins. And one thief is insulting Him. He sees Jesus on the cross. I mean, I wish I could see that sight. Don't you? To see Jesus dying for our sins. He saw it and it was nothing to him. He heaped on insults and mockery on this man. But the other thief, with God-opened eyes, he saw a king. He said, "Lord, remember me when you go into your kingdom." They were looking at the same man. One was blind. And one had God-opened eyes. In this place today, we've sung of the same Jesus. We've heard Him preached. Perhaps some of you see it. It's beautiful to you. And you've come to worship Him. And your heart is moved. And you see who He is. And you can say with Simeon, "My eyes have seen your salvation." But perhaps there are others here, and you're like, "What's the fuss all about?" Yeah, Jesus. May God open eyes in this place today. "My eyes have seen your salvation." You know, there's other places in Scripture where we're told to see the salvation of the Lord. At the Red Sea, Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." There's a time in Israel's history when King Jehoshaphat had enemy armies coming to him, and a prophet stood up and said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." What are you looking at this season? What are your eyes fixed upon? I would encourage you, look away from yourself and see Christ. Not with these physical eyes, but with the eyes of faith. Can you see Him this morning? Leaving heaven to take on flesh. Fullness of God and a helpless babe. Like trying to put the ocean in a cup, one preacher said. Fitting God in a baby. It's a miracle. It's amazing. The incarnation, the taking on of flesh by the Son of God. Can you see Him doing that for you? Can you see Him walking on the sea and proving His divinity with the miracles He worked? Can you see Him on a hillside teaching with words of authority so that the crowd said, "No one ever spoke like this man"? Can you see Him in the garden praying, approaching the cross, and His sweat became like drops of blood, and He said, "Lord, if there's any other way, do it, but nevertheless, Your will be done"? Can you see Him coming and taking Him and putting Him in chains? Giving Him a trial where the leaders, the religious leaders of Israel, mock Him and spit on Him and beat Him. Hand Him over to the Gentiles, the Romans, who whip Him and nail Him to a cross. Can you see Jesus giving His life for you? Not just your neighbor sitting next to you, not just the people in Africa and Asia and the islands and all around the world, but you, your sins, your thoughts, your evil words and attitudes against your fellow man, your refusal to worship and give God glory in all things. Jesus taking your sins, the things you've done with your hands, the things that you have said in your heart, placed upon Christ on the cross. Can you see Him standing in your place by faith? Crying out, "It is finished! The price is paid!" Dying for you. Buried for you. Rising in victory to conquer death for you. Hallelujah! My eyes have seen the salvation. And look to Him today. Look away from yourself and your sin. See Jesus. Believe Him and be saved. What if you're already a Christian? Hey, continue to look on Christ. Continue to look on Him, believer. This world, thousands of voices are competing and calling for your attention every day. And your job is to get up every morning and preach the gospel to yourself and fix your eyes on Jesus. And when temptation comes, when sin comes, when you stumble, when you fall, to rip your eyes back off of this world and onto Jesus. We walk by looking at Him. When you get in trouble, you lift up your eyes. As the psalm says, "I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." Are you looking at Him? Have your eyes seen His salvation? I would say this morning to close. All of us, fix our eyes on Jesus. Whatever your need is, whatever you're going through, if you see Jesus, that is enough. That is enough. Let's pray with Simeon that we can say, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Let's pray together, church.